All right, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Feeling good? We are starting a series called Boundaries today. I'm excited about this series because I believe that God wants to, I believe he wants to set some people free in the context of what it means to live in boundaries. Because that's where God has placed in our life. And sometimes we like to overlap and go outside, but God's grace pulls us back in. But boundaries are there for a reason. And I believe, and I want to echo what Eric said today, is the fact that sometimes you have to break out of your shell and what you normally do in order to see breakthrough in your life. We get stuck, but you got to do something different. You got to run a 5K at 7:46 pace to bring yourself into a new place in your life. Somebody who's not done this before decided, I'm going to do something different. She said, I'm going to go do it. She did it. And it's totally just like changed her perspective on life. And she's been all smiles today because she did something she couldn't do. And she went further than she thought she could go. And so sometimes in your life, you got to do something that is not normal for you to do in order to see breakthrough in your life. And that is a message for you today. Get out of your comfort zone and do something different. If you are stuck, you can get unstuck. You can get unstuck. And that means you just might have to shake it up a little bit. And it means in worship also, it's okay to get a little free in worship. And it's okay to cry a little bit. It's okay to get a little free because God does his best work when we're together sometimes, where two or three are gathered. The presence of God is strong. And so that's why you don't want to take lightly the opportunity that God gives you to get together with other believers, because things happen in the presence of God when we're together. And so, and it's okay. God's not going to let you get too crazy, but God does want you to be a little bit open with your praise and worship, because he knows more than we do that we need it. You need it. You need it. We live in a day and age right now where things are happening. Time is speeding up. The enemy is at work, and so you've got to really engage with God. And the only way that this is going to work for you, and the only way that you're going to see breakthrough in your life, is that if you really understand and begin to understand what surrender is and the posture of surrender in your life. I was thinking more about it this week, this idea of submitting to God and what that looks like. You cannot effectively resist the enemy if you learn what it means to submit to God, and the word submit means to defer to someone else who knows better than you do. And so if you can understand that in your life and get yourself in a position where you're submitted to God, you will see more peace and breakthrough in your life, because you understand that the creator of life has created this. He knows how it works. And so if you're going to see progress in your life, you're going to have to get into his thing. And so we're going to talk about that today and what that looks like in this boundary series. And so the book of Genesis, very familiar book. Most of us have begun reading here, and we understand what it says, but in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 20, it says, the Lord God placed a man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat it, you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Everybody say alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one, and he gave names to all the livestock and all the birds of the sky and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. And so it's interesting to me when God looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And the first thing that he created were livestock and animals. And it said, hey, listen, we're going to create these things, and I want to see what you are going to do with these things. I'm not going to name them. I want to see what you're going to name them. And if you look at this picture in the garden, it was God gave Adam really an opportunity to say, listen, I want to see what you're going to do. I'm going to step back here. I've created you with the ability and talents and gifts. Adam did not know necessarily what they all were yet. But he said, I'm going to step back and I want you to create right now. I'm going to oversee it, but I want to see what you're going to do. And the first thing that we see in the garden was that there was opportunity. This had never happened before to our knowledge. And those theologians can debate whether or not there was something, but we're looking, taking at it from the book of Genesis chapter 2. And that God said, listen, there's an opportunity for you to do something here. And I don't want you to do it by yourself. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to test you. And I want you to use the gifts that I've put inside of you to name these animals. And God said, okay, he did that. And then he said, all right, well, but it's still not good for you to be alone. And so he caused Adam, if you read further down, to go into a deep sleep. And he took a rib out of the side of Adam, and he closed up that side, and he created woman out of that rib. Right. Amen. And so he brought the woman, get this, he brought the woman to the man, and he named the woman and said, well, we're going to call you woman. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We're going to call you woman because you came out of me. And if you go further down in verse 25, I want to highlight this verse here as they put it up on the screen. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. And we're going to really dive into this a little bit more next week, but I want to bring that out today because of this. You understand certain things about God, that God designed life, as we talk about community group kickoff, for you to do life together. Together. There was an opportunity here, and God saw it from the beginning. And he said, we got to bring people together in order to make this work the way it should work here. And so in your life right now, as we kick off community groups, and we're going to talk about community groups specifically today, is that you have an opportunity to get together and do life with other people. For some of you, this will be your greatest step of faith that you have taken in your life. Because for so long, you have tried to do life by yourself, and you've missed out on the benefit about getting around other people and sharing life with other people and the experiences that they have. Because those are the very things that maybe God wants to deposit in your life to help you move into the next phase and level of your life. Remember, God looked down at Adam and said, no good. It's okay, but not good. So we're going to create and bring alongside of you. And so it's the same way. God said, looks down and said, listen, you're great by yourself, and we have a wonderful relationship, but it's not the way it should be. So what I need you to do, I'm going to bring other people alongside of you. And so there's no excuse as far as, well, I can't find anybody to do life with. Just look around. There are people to do life with. You've got it on your jobs. You've got it in your families. It's all around. But specifically, when it comes to the church body and doing community groups and life together, you have people and opportunities to do life together. The problem is that we go into it very apprehensive and jaded because we say to ourselves, well, I don't want it to get weird. Because we have a misconception in our mind when other people get together and they start talking about Jesus and their problems, it just gets weird sometimes. And what we have to get and understand is, let's really dispel that myth right now. You are doing life with non-believers right now at your work. You are doing life with people in your family you don't necessarily want to do life with all the time. And so it doesn't have to get weird. But what it is just recognizing that it's okay to get together as believers and do life together, because that's where life really happens. And there should be things happening in that group or that atmosphere that are spurring you on to good works. And so don't let the enemy come in and try to lie to you and say, well, this is not for you. No, it could be the very thing that you need in your life that's going to kickstart your spirituality. You're already doing it in your life right now. You're already doing it. And you're able to select who you do it with for the most part. Except when you go to work, sometimes you just have to put up with. But when it comes to community group in the church, you can select what you'd like to do. And it gives you an opportunity to get in there and do life. And what you have to understand is that this is the way God designed it. And for Christians to get together, that's why the Bible talks about in Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren as some do. God said it's necessary, even as you see the day approaching, for you to come together, because when you come together, there is encouragement and excitement. God does something in worship, and you just sense that God is doing something in our life, and you recognize that we are really part of something bigger, that it's not about us, and that I can lose my life to it. I can, and give it to God because he knows best and what I need. And that's the benefit of being involved in a church or being involved in a group. And God places people where they need to be. God brings people where they need to go. He takes people out where they don't need to be there. God understands what it looks like. But look at your life right now and look at the aspect of community that's taking place right now in your life. Are you really getting what you think you need to get? And maybe you need to say to yourself, well, maybe it's time for me just to connect with other believers. One of the worst things that you can do is to isolate yourself into a point of where you think that you can just kind of do your relationship with God by yourself and not really get around other people and really allow them to influence your life. It's one of the worst things you can do, because there is a wealth of knowledge. There are people who are ahead of you right now in your life, ahead of you. And if you would get in a relationship with them, not to drain them of everything that they have, but to learn and to glean, that it could be the very thing that just pulls you along to where they are. Isn't that what life is like? Or should be like? You have people who are ahead of you that you are aspiring to be like. You have people in your life right now who are doing life with you. And then you have people behind you who are coming up that you're pouring into. So in every area of your life, you have people ahead, aside, and behind. That's how God has orchestrated it. And so you should be reaching ahead, reaching aside, and bringing up like that. That's how it should be. And so I have to ask myself, where am I at in that process right now? Where am I at? Here's one of the ways that you can really assess whether or not you feel like you're growing in your life. Are there people who are where you want to be right now? If there are people that you see and they are where you want to be right now, guess what? It could be the very thing that God's saying, reach out and try to catch what they have. If there are people in your life that you're doing life with and God has placed you there, do life with them. Let them spur you on. That's great. And if you have people in your life that you say, you know what, I need to help raise up this next generation and look and pour back into these people, then do that. My heart right now for my girls, me, it's 11, going to be 12. So my heart is for her to really to get into a place of where she begins to understand who she is and her identity, okay, as a woman, as she grows up into preteen and teens, and so really began to pour into our life. So I'm thinking about her and the next generation coming up. But at the same time, I'm having a great relationship with my wife, Misty. We're doing life together. But guess what? There are people I'm looking at right now. I'm like, listen, they have a similar spirit that I have, but they're further along. Let's talk. Are you there? You can't say that you are totally. And there's a saying I want you to write down. Maybe you've heard this before. It says, more is caught than taught. There's something that happens when you get around people that you just catch things from them. And then what happens is that all of a sudden, you don't know where it comes from, but you start talking differently. All of a sudden, your life changes. I don't know where that came from. And all it was is that you got around an atmosphere or a group of people that had the same spirit that you did, and God just kind of used it to fuel you and all of a sudden bring you to another place in your life. And now you're just thinking differently because you got around the atmosphere, but you got to get around it. Those are the things, and maybe some of the things that God has placed inside of you that God will awaken if you will. Because you say to yourself, wow, there are other people like me. And the enemy wants you to think there are not. And so you have to find out you. Do you, boo? Who are you? And then allow God to align your heart, not just with him, but with what you see. Not that you're placing them in a position of a godlike stature, but you understand the value that, okay, that person carries something that I bear witness to. And I want to know more about that. And it could be the thing that God uses to pull you along with them. All they did was now they're doing the same thing that you want to do. They're looking ahead. They're doing life with people. And all of a sudden, you're their drag. They're pulling you this way. Because they've seen what God can do, and now they want to pour back into you. It's the cycle of life. There was opportunity. Absolutely, there's opportunity. Second thing there was vulnerability. What does that word mean? Well, let's look at it. Vulnerability, the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. It's wonderful, isn't it? This is a garden. And I was thinking about this week, and I felt like God said, well, that was there. They had never been involved with each other before. So you're taking one man that God had created supernaturally, and then you're taking a woman that God created from the man and said, okay, now I want you to do life together. They don't know how they're going to operate with one another. They've got to figure it out. This vulnerability. But the key part about this is that the Bible says is that the husband and wife were both naked and they were not ashamed. They were comfortable with who they were. Comfortable. Not really concerned about what necessarily the other thought about them were, because they both really didn't, they were comfortable with who they were. And I think sometimes in our life, what we do is that we want to have progress in our life, but we don't like that word. And I'll be honest, we don't like that word. I don't like it all the time, even myself. But what it is it's just an invitation to allow other people to see who you are and to speak into your life. Vulnerability. Without fear or shame. When you are comfortable with who you are, there is no reason why you have to feel ashamed about who you are in your life. And if other people maybe say something that is contrary to your belief, or you have a fear of what somebody else is going to say about you because you're comfortable in your identity. The only issue is that when you are not healed, or you have not accepted your past, know that it's under the blood and God has forgiven you from it, and that you don't quite understand the value that you possess in God's eyes, you have a tendency then to walk around really maimed or not the way you should walk around. And so when you get in a relationship with people, it's hard for you to really value them because you don't really value yourself. And so vulnerability is key. Not that you vent everything in your life. No one wants to hear it. But that you're okay and vulnerable to say, you know what, I tell you what, I struggled in that area also, but God's been faithful to me. I'm excited about Maria's group, man, being healthy and free. Just getting together with people, just understanding who they are and how eating and how their spirituality kind of tie together. And why we gravitate toward certain things is because we're really uncomfortable and dissatisfied with who we are. And so we gravitate toward things that are unhealthy. But once we get a healthy perspective about who God is, those things don't have a hold on us as much anymore. Healthy and free. And just being honest. And so being vulnerable is part of that. Understanding being vulnerable in a healthy way. That's why community groups are valuable. It's because you can share and you can open up and people can do the same, but you have to be comfortable with that. And God will allow you, and this is good today then because it helps you some practical steps also. God will allow you the opportunity to be vulnerable, but also in your time and how comfortable you need to be, but also sometimes force you to be vulnerable. Because He doesn't want whatever's plaguing you to rob you of the joy and fulfillment that a relationship with Jesus comes with, and also the joy that a relationship with other people come with. And so what we do is instead of opening up, we go back into a shell, and it's the opposite of what God is asking of you. And what was so great about today is when we talk about posturing our heart and surrendering, what we're really saying too is, God, I surrender those areas of my life that I've been hurt and I've been disappointed with so that I can open up again and feel free to be myself and be comfortable with who I am and vice versa, have a relationship with someone else, whether it's in a community group or whatever station of life that I'm at, and it be healthy. Some of you maybe really need to get to a point where you trust yourself again. You trust yourself that you're not going to get too far out on a limb and that God can't bring you back. We feel sometimes that, oh, I'm going to get too far out, I'm going to share too much, and all of a sudden I'm going to go back into my shell because I shouldn't have said it, I'll beat myself up, and you're going to go back and forth. We need to stop that rhetoric right now. And if you share a little bit more than you should share, it's okay. The Holy Spirit can check you and bring you back where you need to check. But wouldn't you rather be a little more open? Vulnerability. You can be confident in vulnerability. You don't have to be the victim and be vulnerable at the same time. Hey, yeah, I'll let you know. I've dealt with this, but I tell you what, I'm confident in what Jesus has done. And man, I'm so much better than I was, and I'm walking in faith right now, and it's okay. Because I know my value. That's the issue. If I don't know my value, I'll struggle with vulnerability. Because I'll think I'm not worth it because of this. And in reality is, You are worth it. And God has to help you change your perspective about who you are. Who you are as a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. So be confident. Get in a group. Talk to people. It's not going to be... some people in their mind have this thing, oh God, we're going to get tissues out and we're going to start crying and it's going to be nuts. Listen, there's a group for that somewhere, probably. And that might be in a setting where God facilitates that because it's necessary for healing, but a good leader knows how to navigate that. Because in some instances, it's not just about the setting. What it is, it's about, hey, listen, God might be trying to do something deeper in your life. This may not be the setting for it, but I can help you get there. I know some people you can talk to. Vulnerability. And there's a healthy way to do it. The third thing, there was life. Man, there were trees, there was fruit, there was everything on it. Can you imagine the first setting of the garden and how it looked like, man? How beautiful it was. Wasn't tainted, except there was a one tree that God put in and say, hey, listen, this is going to be the test. Don't eat of it. How many times does God put everything else around us and say, listen, stay here. Stay here. Don't go there. Stay here. Listen, 95% of this is for you. 5%, don't even go there. You can look at it, but I don't even want you to take anything off the tree. And what do? If we're not careful and we're really not submitted in our relationship with Christ, we look at the five because we think what we don't have is better than what we do. But God said, no, for you, your boundary is here. That's why I titled this, Stay Here. Stay here. This is your boundary. I brought you out into a spacious place. Stay here. Everything else, this is all yours. That's not your lane. Don't go there. And only you know what that is. That's the boundary. And sometimes the enemy will take your freedom and he'll work it back up on you. You know you are free today, right? You are free. But God has also placed boundaries in your life to help you keep that freedom. You could do whatever you want today. I think most people say, I can do whatever I want today. However, are the consequences worth you operating in that total freedom in your life without boundaries? And this is the good thing about God is that God places the boundaries there and gives you freedom. God's not stupid. He said, I gave you freedom, but don't eat of that. What he says is, I'm giving you freedom, but here are the boundaries. God knows you can't have one without the other. Because then you'll have lascivious action, unrestrained action. You can do whatever you want without fear of consequence. And people live like that. But as a Christian, you can't. Because if you have the Spirit of God in you, that Spirit of God is always pulling you back in this way. Say, no, nah, we're not going there. And that's the great thing about God. When he separated the heavens and the earth, the night from the day, all that, the earth from the sky, all that was boundaries. God does the same thing with you. He said, listen, I'll pull you back in. I set it up that way because I wanted you to see how it works. So it's the same way in your life. You can try to get way outside, but when you're really walking with me, I'm going to pull you back into where you need to go. That's why today, be confident that you're not going to miss God. You're not going to miss God if your heart is postured toward him and saying, God, I want what you want. Because God has a way by his Spirit of bumping you back in to where you need to go. That's just the way he does it. How many of you experienced that in your life? He bumps you back in. Because he set it up that way, here and no further. And you have to learn that. Kids have to learn that. They learn to test boundaries with you. But eventually they get it. It's the same way with God. God will allow you to go so far, learn what your threshold is and your boundary, and then bring you back in. Because God has wired you a certain way that if you don't have those boundaries, you'll self-destruct. What happened to Rome? Freedom, lasciviousness, can do whatever they want. Great city, but fell. Does it remind you of something today? We got a great nation. But if we're not careful, will go down the same road and you end up imploding from the inside out. I've given you freedom, but I want you to honor me. I've given you blessing, but I want you to give me back my portion. See, it's the one thing about God that sometimes we forget. That God is kind and he is just and that he loves, but he wants to be first. And when he's not first, there are always consequences. Be honest, look at your life. When he is not first, what ends up happening? There's always a tension or an uncomfortability that's there when he's not first, because that still small voice is always speaking. It's that voice in your head that said, hey, Paul, why do you persecute me? Or listen, why do you go against, in your conscience, what you know to be wrong, but you're doing it anyway? Isn't that what he told Paul? Paul, why do you kick against the pricks? Paul, remember the thing in your conscience right now you think is good? You know it's really not good, but you're doing it anyway in the name of me. It's the same way in our relationship with God. We're doing stuff, and it could be good stuff, but we're doing stuff, but God always has a way of coming back and say, but what about the thing I asked you to do? That one. You remember that one? That's the one. That's what I'm after. But Lord, man, it's a little difficult, man. I know, but that's the one where my grace is. That's where my grace is. That's where my grace is. But we don't want to talk about that because we want a grace of God that's wide, that it makes up for our failures and mistakes. But what about the grace of God that's where our obedience should be? You want, God, that's just the way I am. God says, listen, I understand, but you're old enough now to know that my grace for you is in this area right here. You're not 2 years old anymore. You know where it's supposed to be. Come on now. We've been doing this a while. So, and the one thing about God is that it's hard, but the Bible says don't test him. What is one area that we can test God in? Finances. Can we step out in faith and believe God's going to do something? Absolutely. We can do that. But when it talks about don't test God, don't put God to test and be like, well, let's see if God's going to deliver me. You want to test him? God has a way of showing up and allowing things to happen in our life just to allow us to see that without him, you're nothing. Don't test me. And it's not out of a fear of, oh God. It should be out of a reverence to know that I serve a God right now who holds my very life like this in the palm of his hand. And he can turn it any way he wants to turn it. And so, yeah, if there's a little bit of fear when the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, there is a little bit of fear and reverence to God to know that, yeah, he loves me and that perfect love casts out fear. But there is the side of God that you understand that this is the God who holds eternity in his hand. You know, that type of God. So when it comes to the reality of who he is, it is a reality. When I say that there are boundaries that I have put there and that I want you to stay in those boundaries, Adam, it is there for a reason. Now, Adam messed it up. Jesus came in, thank God, redeemed it. Thank God. But it's there for a reason. So I'm putting you two by two for a reason. It's not good for a man to be alone. All of a sudden, a woman comes in. Great, we're better together. Okay, you're better together with people in your life. You know that. Ecclesiastes, let's throw that verse up real quick before we close out today. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? God said, listen, two are better than one. Two. But let's do it right. Let's do it right. I'm giving you an opportunity to be in a group, be involved with people. That's awesome. That's my plan for you. Let's do it right. In order for it to work, there's got to be some sort of vulnerability. because you're going to understand that your limitation might be the invitation for someone else to come in and share their vulnerability and confidence to know what I did in their life, and gives you boldness to keep going on. Because you begin to understand, oh my gosh, there are people just like me, and there are people who have strengths that you don't have, and all of a sudden, two of you together, now you start to do great things, and a friendship blossoms, and God does some great things in your life. And the third thing, as a result of that, there's life. You found people who are not like you, but then you find people who are like you, and you're like, man, there's life. Things are happening. Things are happening. Man, Craig came in. I'll tell you what a blessing, man. Craig has been in this church 6 months, maybe? I don't even know. 6 months ago, came in, smiling. I remember the first day I preached, just looking at me, just smiling. I'm like, this guy smiles all the time. I'm preaching. It's hard stuff. He's like, yeah, just smiling. That's all, just smiling. Yeah, he has bad days probably, but just smiles. You talk to him, smiles. I look over today, worship it, man. Does my heart great. Because that's what it's about. God takes a life. Because he's caught what's happening. Because the Spirit of God is working. And that's why we do what we do. That's why God has called us as a church, as a body, as Christians, to be a light. Because of that, because of the possibility of people changing and going from sitting to standing to worshiping to doing to living to being involved in a community group, all of a sudden to being vulnerable, sharing their emotion. I did that same thing. I can't believe it. Getting healed, feeling life, feeling joy, feeling peace, all of a sudden saying, there is a God. It's possible. God is awesome. I can't believe it. This is what I've been waiting for in my life. This is why we do it. It's not so we can just be excited and be like, well, we got it. No, you don't have it. We don't all have it. But you go where God sends you. You do what God has called you to do. God did it for the one. Jesus did it for the one. Craig is just one. But that's the blessing of it. And to be a part of that should bring you joy. If you got anything out of house rules, loving God, embrace the community, and serve the world, that in itself should bring you joy, as we dissected that, because you are doing what God has called you to do. And you're happy about it. Not that it's easy all the time. You're just happy. Happy are the people whose God is their Lord. You're just happy. Where do these happy people come from? Jesus. It's an old song. We've got faith. We have joy. We're yielded. We're stepping out. We're doing something different. We're putting ourselves out there. What if I'm rejected? Good, you might be. But at least you stepped out and do something. If I was afraid of that, I'd never be married. You ever think about that in your life? I'm just opening my heart up. God gives me wisdom on what to say and what not to say. Sometimes I don't say it right. I got to shut my mouth, whatever. But I'm saying something. The enemy would like nothing more than for you to shut up completely in your life. Just shut up and don't say nothing. Because what happens is then you turn inward, and then you go into self-loathing, you go into a pattern of self-destruction, and then it's hard to come out. Not to say that God can't get you out, but God does not want you staying in that place in your life. So get out, get involved, do something with other believers. Because that's where you're going to find some joy and peace and fulfillment. Next week, we're going to talk just a real quick precursor. Next week, we're talking about marriage. It's probably going to be a little candid in here, so I just want to let you know today. So you know. Okay? Because I believe that God wants us to be healed, whole, free, all that stuff. Absolutely. There are boundaries that God has set up in our life. This is one of them today, community groups. And you begin to understand just how wide the boundary is in your life, how wide it is. God said you can go here and go there, how wide it is. Because then God sets it up in your life and says, okay, you're in a different season of your life right now. And so, okay, here's a different boundary I want to give you because you don't need to be involved in that anymore. Now it's different for you. I'm elevating you. Guess what? You're rising. Because as you rise and as God does different things in your life, what happens is he gives you a little bit more grace to apply healthy boundaries in your life, because what you were at, you can't be at anymore. You're growing now. You're rising. This is why coming up from this position to this position is good. So today, I am the coach, and I am telling you, get in the game. Stop waiting. If you're waiting for an invitation, today's your invitation. The sideline is full of players who want to get in the game. I'm telling you, you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be the brightest. God is just saying, just get in it. And watch what my grace will do. Let's all stand up to our feet. You're missing out on life. Fill in the blank for yourself. You're missing out on life because of fear of what for you? God might ask me to do something I don't want to do. Yes, he probably will. Yes, right now. And you've heard it here preached before. You can never say I didn't preach it. Serving Jesus is the hardest thing you're ever going to do, but it's the most fulfilling thing you'll ever do because his grace is there. He's going to ask me. Yeah, he is. He wants your life. Listen, it's not yours, it's mine. I'm going to ask you to do some things. I'm going to take you through some valleys. I'm going to help you rise up. All these things in your life, I'm going to do that stuff. But I'm going to expect you to trust me that what I do, I'm going to show you what to do. Where I go, you go. That's how it works. Listen, I know where you're at. I'm asking you to come where I'm at. This is what it is. So for you today, leave here two words. Stay here, not in the church. Stay here. Stay here in the boundaries. Stay here in the space that God has created for you with the boundaries that he has set. Stay there. That's where your blessing is going to be. We don't need an Adam recreated in your life. Now you go down a path that you don't need to go anymore. You're going to go down this path, and now God's going to have to spend years redeeming you. You don't have the time. You got to get it right. I'm going to close with this. We're going long today, but it's okay. Listen. Time is speeding up. It's speeding up. You don't have the luxury to waste it on things that you think are good for you. You have to be in a position of where, is God allowing me to do this, and is God asking me to do this in my life because I want my days to count and I want to be in God's will. And so you don't have the luxury to play around. You never really didn't have luxury to play around. It was God's grace that brought you from where you were anyway. So find out what that is for you, and if God has asked you to do it, let's learn it and let's get in it, because God knows best in what you do, because you're going to look back and say, I can't believe where the time went in my life. God will redeem your life, but he would rather you just walk with him. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love that you have for us. We thank you, God, that you brought us, some of us from such a far way off to where we are now, and placed us in your love, placed us in your care. You've got good things for your kids. I thank you, God, that you've given us an opportunity to do life together with people. Opportunity. An opportunity to grow. Be comfortable with who we are. Experience life. Thank you for the freedom that you bring. The joy that you bring. How many of you would be honest right now and say, hey, listen, I feel like God has brought me out of some stuff in my life, and he's given me a wide space to run in. And I'm grateful for it right now. There's just a space to run it right now. And I'm grateful, but I also know that there are some things that he's asking me to do right now. And it's a little bit difficult for me. But I want the ability to be able to trust him to say that he knows best for me. And you'll slip your hand up and you'll just say, hey, let's pray together today. This is what this is about. Father, I thank you, God, for your people. Those that have been freed. Those you brought from difficult situations. God, those that you're healing, those that you're delivering, God, I pray today that you would help them grasp the concept of freedom with boundaries, that they will understand that you've placed them in a spacious place so that they can run with you and that the grace of God is there, but also to understand how to walk in wisdom in their life and what you're calling them to do specifically in their life in order to help further your kingdom. And God, I pray that you can continue to give them the confidence to believe and trust in you, to know, God, that what you have for us is better than what we could imagine, and that we can keep our eyes fixed upon you because you're going to finish this thing that you started. And God, as we go into community groups, God, there's just going to be an understanding of what real life was meant to be, because not only do we have a relationship with you, but we have a relationship with other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things about community groups. I'm going to give you some practical steps real quick because I love you. Okay, if you're going into a community group, two things. Don't monopolize the time and engage. You want to see breakthrough? People want to share and they want to do life. It's about everyone else there too. In order for you to get something out of it, you're going to have to participate. I don't care if it's a serve group, a men's group, healthy and free group, discerning the voice of God group, whatever it is, know that you're there as a body to glean from each other, and you'll get stuff out of it because remember, more is caught than you guys are getting it. Okay.